Why be satisfied when you can feel ecstatic? Hi there, it's Janet Kaliri of Sight for Sound Life Coaching. You know, when we see things as they truly are, we make sound choices in life. So how about starting now? Invest in yourself. Invest in your potential through my very fun 21 Days to Yes program. 21 Days to Yes, where your life is the workshop. It's only 21 days away. So call me now at 323-252-0963. 323-252-0963. It's Janet Kaliri, and I believe in your potential and that you deserve to feel ecstatic. Hello, world. Welcome to my show, Sight for Sound, Life Coaching with a Twist. I am your host and your life coach, Janet Kaliri. Thank you for being here on this lovely Tuesday afternoon, early evening on the East Coast. It is July 15th, a beautiful day, and I've got a beautiful guest for today's show. And just to describe a little bit about my work and where Sight for Sound comes from, where that name comes from. Sight for Sound, when we see things as they truly are, we make sound choices. So the coaching process is about seeing yourself, seeing your truth, revealing what's inside of you through a series of conversations and questioning. And what happens when people know themselves better, their life works better because they have more information to work with. Maybe someone who is listening has said to themselves at one point or another, I didn't know that about myself, or that's why this certain circumstance occurred, or that's why it hasn't been working for me. I didn't know that about myself. Sort of an aha moment. And though many people resist learning about themselves or looking at themselves or their shadow side, I encourage people to be very compassionate with themselves, even in the times when they don't want to look at what is going on. Because our shadow side, our dark side, whatever you want to call it, is part of us. It's part of being human. And to resist it, well, it only causes more anxiety and frustration. So why not embrace it? It's all beautiful. And my mission is to ignite human potential, and this radio show is an opportunity to do so. It's 55 minutes of uncensored coaching, conversations, enlightenment, and as always, I encourage you to call in and share your thoughts or ask questions. The number is toll-free 877-876-5227, and then from Canada or the USA, toll-free 888-815-9756, and the local number 530-876-3222, and all of these numbers are located on the bbsradio.com website. And this question I have for the audience today and right now, have you ever considered putting yourself first as a selfless act of love? Have you ever considered putting yourself first as a selfless act of love? Well, today I have a guest, Jeff Jones, who is a facilitator of Byron Katie's The Work. It's called The Work. And the work consists of four questions. It's a simple yet powerful process of inquiry that teaches you to identify and question thoughts that cause all the suffering in the world. It's a way to understand why you are hurting and to address that with clarity. So in other words, from the foundation in which I teach, which I speak about often, is this place of ownership, this attitude of ownership. It's similar to accountability. And it's opposite of victim, of living in the victim role, of pointing the finger at others, blaming others, and waiting for any outside circumstance to change so that you feel good. So why would you give your power away to anything outside of yourself? You might be waiting days, months, years to feel a certain way because you think it's an outside source that is making you feel that way, is making you do something or not do something. You become a victim of circumstance. So the freedom lies within ownership. Owning and claiming who I am, owning and claiming my results, owning and claiming my thoughts. And as I've worked with many people and talk about on my show, in claiming and owning my thoughts, reprogramming the way I think, my certain frame that I look through the world. And if I stop and take time to listen to my thoughts, that chatter that goes around and around in my head, if I stop and listen to it, I have an opportunity to experiment, to have fun with changing it around, with reprogramming, and applying that, you know, taking time, maybe 21 days, taking 21 days and playing around with how I think, how I process words, or how I use words, how I speak, and see what happens. And I believe that you come to a place of ownership, that sense of freedom within, no longer being a victim of outside circumstances. And Jeff Jones is, he's going to be working with me today on that process. Again, it's called The Work of Byron Katie. And for 10 years now, Jeff has facilitated and participated in the work in groups on the west and east side of Los Angeles. And he is currently organizing more groups around the L.A. area, including San Fernando Valley. He says, "I love seeing people shift and transform by a willingness to question their own thoughts." And I really like how Jeff put willingness, because it really isn't an ability. It's not a question of ability to question our own thoughts. It's really a willingness. And the willingness comes with a willingness to feel a level of discomfort, because what we're doing here is we're creating change. And change always comes with some level of discomfort. So Jeff and I encourage you to call in and experience the work for yourself. Again, it consists of four questions, and then actually there's a turnaround. I will give things to Jeff, and he will explain the work and share it and talk about it. So welcome, Jeff Jones.
All right. Thank you for having me, Janet. I appreciate it very much.
You're good. How are you?
I'm good. Can you hear me okay?
I do.
Okay.
I do.
I liked what you said about seeing things as they truly are, and kind of owning and claiming who I am. What the work is about really is claiming who I am or who one is in this moment at the level of their thoughts, especially when they're stressful. And you described well the effects of stressful thoughts. And the work's kind of a simple magic carpet, you could say, to just asking questions in the moment about specific thoughts, one thought at a time, And then just by noticing the effect of those thoughts through the questions, or that one thought at a time, through the questions, arriving at a place of understanding and then kind of turning it around to see what is suggested to an open mind about that situation.
Mm-hmm. What do you see after facilitating and participating for 10 years now, Jeff? Is there a certain amount of time that it takes for a person to reprogram?
The work, it really happens in the moment. And obviously, we can look at apparent time and say that this or that is happening or could happen. But what's really important is to just notice what the judgments are. And if they're really stressful and we seem to be stuck to them or attached to them, then this is a very, Eckhart Tolle calls it a razor-sharp sword to cut through illusion. He called it a great blessing for the planet. I'm told that Eckhart Tolle and Byron Katie have been you know, associates or known each other for a number of years. I don't know that, but I know I don't have any problem seeing why he would say that, though. It's a very, to me, it's like a sharp knife cutting through butter. It really cuts to the chase, especially about chronic and limiting beliefs that one might have.
Mm-hmm. Cuts to the chase. Well, that's appropriate for nowadays, with most people are impatient and want everything now. So that's good news.
Right.
I
like your quote that you said at the very end about seeing things as they truly are, because the title of her first book, which is like a textbook of the work, is called Loving What Is. And it doesn't mean that one should or shouldn't love what is. It just means that the effect of going into these questions can be that.
True. And that's why I encourage people to look at things as an experiment. You know, so experiment with it and see if it works for you. It's not a have to. It's not something that we're going to be stuck with for the rest of our lives, and especially knowing that it's an in-the-moment process.
Sure. You said you were interested, I think, in being facilitated. May I just give a one- or two-minute quick rundown about just what the work is for people?
Oh, yeah. I definitely want to go through more detail of what it is.
Yeah, it's amazingly simple. It's almost the closest thing to a non-thing you could have. It's just four questions, but the key part to being able to just really utilize the questions in your answers, the work is really in your answers to the questions. But that's really the second part. The first part is to write down the thoughts. In other words, so you're working on one thought at a time, and you know what the thought is, because often the mind will try to change it midstream. But once you know what it is you're working on, and you can do that on the website. There's thework.com, Byron Katie's one of her websites. There's an actual worksheet called the Judge Your Neighbor Worksheet. There's also a facilitation guide and an instructions for doing the work that's right on the left panel of the, when you go to the homepage and you click on the work. And it's really quite simple, but it's a good idea to have what you're going to ask the questions about written down, so that you know specifically what it is mind is inquiring about.
Mm-hmm. And I have the Judge Your Neighbor worksheet in front of me here, too.
Great.
All right. So where do you start?
Basically, if someone has written down their thoughts, I mean, you know, if I'm doing a workshop, I'm doing a presentation tonight at a library, the Hastings Branch Library in Pasadena, the free workshop from 6 to 9. But basically, I just have people fill out their stressful thoughts, and the Judge Your Neighbor worksheet is probably the best way to do that. And usually you want to have it be on one topic, either a person or a circumstance, you know, mother, father, sister, brother, you know, a friend, a co-worker, or something like traffic or money or government or whatever it is that's an issue. I recommend usually that people try to write about another person that they have that they haven't fully forgiven or that they feel stressed about. And that way, you're directing the energy outward toward what the mind, you know, we all know about not judging, and we've all, you know, the whole culture is aware of things about the benefits of not judging, but the fact is that's what the mind, you know, does basically, primarily.
Sure.
And so this is a way of allowing the mind to express itself on paper and then meet itself through the questions for its own understanding.
Okay, so first a person directs outwardly, so more in that, and the victim role is just the...
Yeah, and obviously this is a thing to do when someone is feeling stressed or when someone is feeling, really contracted or stuck or attached to something. And the work is for stressful thoughts that are, you know, who angers, frustrates, or confuses you is the first one you can probably see in front of you.
Okay.
Basically, it says, fill in the blanks below, writing about someone you haven't yet forgiven 100%. Use short, simple sentences. Don't censor yourself. Try to fully experience the anger or pain as if the situation were occurring right now. Take this opportunity to express judgment. Sorry?
No censoring.
In other words, don't censor yourself.
If
sometimes people think, well, I shouldn't feel that way, or I don't want to say that, but... It's a great opportunity just to be honest with yourself about what it is that's up, and then to put it on the form, or you can put it on any piece of paper. It doesn't have to be on the form.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you're ready, I'll start asking the questions.
Very good. So do you want to use me as an example?
If you wish. If you're willing, sure.
Oh, okay.
And I just say that, you know, there's that old saying, I think it's from Japan, about, you know, you teach someone to fish, or you can cook someone to fish, or you can teach them to fish, and I like to think of this as kind of doing both. As you're being facilitated, you're getting a sense of how you could do that for yourself. My goal is that people get a sense that they could facilitate themselves, and I certainly am available to facilitate if that's what they want. But it's a great process for just, you know, facilitating oneself through difficult, stressful moments and beliefs.
Okay.
So, when you're ready.
All right, let's see. This is something I'm probably irritated about, or sad about, or frustrated about, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. So, let's see, I'll use money.
Okay.
I'm sure there are plenty of listeners out there that will relate to money. I work too hard and have nothing to show for it.
Okay. So we would probably break that down into two thoughts.
Okay.
Because it's easier for the mind to get a handle on the questions. And the work happens when you just allow your questions, you get in touch with a desire for your own truth, and the work is just the arising of the answers, and there's no right or wrong answer. Basically, I'll ask her, there are four questions. Is it true? Can you absolutely know that it's true? And I'm going to ask these in just a second. How do I react when I think that thought? And who would I be without that thought? And if the answer to the first question is yes, then we go to the second question. If the answer to the first question is no, then we go to the third. But again, it's your answer, and you're just going into your truth.
Okay.
There's no right or wrong answer. So.
Okay.
So we'll start with, you work too hard, Janet. Is that true?
No.
Funny how that is sometimes, isn't it?
Well, I say that because I love my work. But when I said I work too hard and have nothing to show for it, to me, maybe I would reward it.
Well, we're gonna stick with this right now, just to see what happens.
Okay.
How do you react when you have the belief I work too hard and have nothing to show for it?
I'm frustrated. I'm frustrated, and I feel limited.
Mm-hmm. And how do you experience your actual work when you have the belief I work too hard?
How do I experience my actual work?
Yeah, while you're working, how do you experience it? Maybe that's the frustration you mentioned.
I'm sure that I'm not as productive.
Okay.
So I'm not as productive, sometimes feeling stuck.
Mm-hmm. And are there any underlying beliefs that come up? Any other thoughts where your mind travels when you have this belief that I work too hard?
Not with I work too hard.
But more with the other one. I have nothing to say.
Yeah.
Work.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
That I have to work hard
mm-hmm.
in order to live. You know, just to survive.
Gotcha. So does this thought bring you peace or stress? I work too hard.
Stress.
And who would you be without it? Who would you be if it just wasn't arising?
Oh, my goodness. Who would I be without the stress? I would be...
Without the thought, yeah. Without the stress, it goes with it, right?
Without the thought, okay. Let's see, I would be more productive, I would feel happier, I would have a greater sense of freedom and excitement about life.
Okay. So, now, when you hear the term turnaround, what does that suggest to you?
To make it opposite. To reprogram it, to make it opposite.
Exactly. See, the opposite or reversal can be to another, to yourself. Since it's about a topic rather than person, in this case, it might even be about your thinking. So what's the reversal or an opposite that this thought, I work too hard, suggests to you?
So a turnaround of that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a turnaround, exactly.
Well... if I just look at the words, then it would be, I work too little.
Okay. Is there any truth to that? Can you find where there's some truth to that?
No.
Okay. Is it that you, what I hear is you like your work, is it that you really are enjoying it, and you're not really working, you're playing. In other words, you're enjoying it to the point where a lot of times it doesn't feel like work.
True.
It's sometimes the turnarounds have a little shift to them, almost like a little play on words or an awareness
mm-hmm.
that comes in. What's another turnaround? And normally I would be going for more examples, but since we're on a time limit here and you're going to have other people calling in, we're just going to kind of do a little demo here.
That's okay.
Another turnaround to I work too hard.
I love working hard.
Okay. That's one that's not literal, but it certainly sounds like it's something that's true for you. Is that right?
It's true for me, yes.
Okay. What's the opposite of I work?
What's the opposite of what?
Like, if you say I work, would the opposite be I don't work too hard?
Okay, yeah, I don't work too hard.
Can you find any examples of how that's true, that you don't work too hard?
What kind of examples are you looking for?
Well, when you hear the phrase, I don't work too hard, are there things that come to mind about your work? Or about the amount of time that you can spend enjoying life or doing things that you don't consider work. Are there aspects of that where you can find that it's true, I don't work too hard?
Well, sure, I could put in another 6 hours every day.
Well, that's one way you could interpret it. I was just suggesting that maybe there are some ways in which you can see that you don't work too hard. When you're working, I hear that you enjoy your work, and it could be that it still leave. I don't know. Does it leave time for other things?
Yes.
Okay. So those are just examples. What I'm going to suggest now is that we go to I have nothing to show for it.
Okay.
Since that was the second part. So you worked too hard, and now we're going to focus on I have nothing to, or you have nothing to show for it. Is that true?
Yes.
And can you absolutely know it's true that you have nothing to show for the work that you do?
No.
Okay. And where did your no come from? Where did your no come from? If you want to share that.
I didn't hear you, Jeff.
I'm sorry. I said, where did your no come from? What was the awareness there that where you could see you can't absolutely know that that's true?
Oh, well, just as a life coach, just the amazing results that my clients are creating is something, you know.
Okay. Sure. And how do you react when you have this thought, I worked too hard and I have nothing to show for it? What happens inside you?
I become angry. I feel like a victim.
Okay. Are there any like repetitive behaviors or just things that you focus on more when you have a thought like, even when you have the thought, I have nothing to show for it?
I guess I sometimes go into a panic.
Okay. Sure.
And then I freeze up.
Gotcha. So does that thought bring you peace or stress?
Stress.
Okay. Now there's other questions I could be asking you that are sub questions of these questions, but right now since you're doing a brief demo, we're just going to stay with this. Can you see a reason to drop this belief? I'm not asking you to drop it, but can you see a reason to drop it? I have nothing to show for it.
Yeah.
So who would you be without the thought? Just close your eyes and just imagine and describe life without the belief, I have nothing to show for it.
I would be less resentful. I would be more abundant.
Mm-hmm.
I would be more peaceful. Yeah.
Peaceful, okay. So just drop the story for a moment and just describe what you see.
I see thousands of more dollars in my bank account.
Mm-hmm.
I see me traveling more, especially to go visit my family. I see me in a office space that is worthy of me.
Mm-hmm.
I see me in a beautiful romantic relationship.
Very good.
And I see me being more generous with my money.
So from that place, let's do those turnarounds again, those reversals or opposites. So you have nothing to show for it. What's a turnaround to that?
Let's see. I have nothing to show for it. I don't have nothing to show for it. Let's see.
Okay.
How about I have something to show for it?
Good. What are some examples of things you have to show for the work that you do?
Oh, well, my home, you know, where I live. I think we might have a caller.
Okay.
Do we have a caller?
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
This is Natria.
Hi, Natria. How are you?
I'm good. Hi, Jeff.
How are you, Natria?
I haven't been listening to the show, but I know that you're on there today, and I wanted to sing your praises because I've done some work with you, and it's just fantastic.
Well, I appreciate that. Wow.
So I don't even know what you're talking about, but I imagine it's about the work stuff, and it's good.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, we are. We're giving a sample of what the work is like, and I'm very close to being complete. Would you want to be facilitated, Maitreya?
I didn't hear you. Sorry.
Oh, we're just finishing up an example of the work with me.
Uh-huh.
And I'm wondering if you would like to be facilitated by Jeff as well.
Be glad
sure.
to do that.
Okay.
That was me talking. I don't know about Maitreya. Did Maitreya say yes? I didn't hear him.
Yes, it is.
Cool. Great. So let's just finish up your turnarounds, Janet. You have nothing to show for it. What are some other examples of what you do have to show for your work? We're doing the turnaround. You have something to show for it. I'm sorry, I got back.
I have something to show for it.
Yeah.
I have a new car. I have a roof over my head. I have food in the refrigerator. I have people and clients who love me and grateful for me.
Great. You have beautiful, just the way you have the website and just your emails are really well done. But to me, is that something you have to show for your work?
Oh, sure.
That's definitely something that
thank
I'm
you.
Very impressed with you.
Thank you.
So does that, we could also go into other turnarounds, but do you get kind of a feel for it now? For what the work, the basic process?
Yeah, it's very simple, and it's very aligned with the work that I do, and it's always nice to have a different perspective and to have someone else facilitate me.
Sure.
But I like the simplicity of it the most.
And I'll just say for people listening before we start with Maitreya, that on the website, thework.com, I also have a meetup group. On meetup.com, if you just go to meetup.com and you go to search, type in Sierra Madre, Work of Byron Katie, or just make sure you're in the Los Angeles part and just go to Work of Byron Katie. It's called the Sierra Madre, Work of Byron Katie, and I've got events tonight and tomorrow night, tonight in East Pasadena, free event at a library, and tomorrow in the San Fernando Valley. And but on the Byron Katie, the work.com website, if you go the website and then from home on the right you click on the work, you can actually download the Judge Your Neighbor worksheet as well as the facilitation guide that has a lot of the sub-questions that can be really rich and can bring a lot of clarity in my experience. And there's also a little kind of a template for just instructions for how to do the work, how to facilitate yourself, as well as a little book that's been around for 15 years. It's just a great simple introduction. It's now an excerpt from the book The Loving What Is by Byron Katie with Stephen Mitchell.
Wow, and it's all free.
Yeah, it's all just off the website. And there's also examples. I love facilitating. I've been doing it for 10 years. I've been doing it for over 9,000 hours. But there's some great examples of Katie facilitating people on a variety of common topics that are stressful for people. And those are just clicks where you just click on the homepage. You just click on to watch her facilitate people.
Yeah, I watched a couple of the videos. They're wonderful.
Yeah, they are.
Wonderful. Okay.
So, Maitreya.
Hi.
Hi. What would you... Maitreya,
would you increase the volume of your voice a little bit?
Yes. How's that?
Good.
So, do you have a kind of a one-liner, a stressful thought that you'd like to work on? To be something current or something that you've noticed over time?
I would like to forgive myself for devaluing myself. How's that?
Okay. Generally, yeah, we generally recommend, and this is not a requirement, we generally recommend that people do the work about something outside because it's just easier for the mind to get answers and also for the turnarounds to have more energy. But if there's nothing, is there nothing else directed outward right now? If you want to work on, I forgive myself for devaluing myself?
I've been looking at drawing more finances to myself and more love to myself, and I think it comes down to that I don't value myself.
So what I'm hearing is the belief is I'd have more finances if I valued myself more. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Okay. Let's look at that. I'd have more finances if I valued myself more. Is that true?
Yes.
Okay. And can you absolutely know it's true that it's your valuing of yourself that results in your finances? I'm not saying it does or doesn't, but can you absolutely know that it's true that you'd have more finances if you valued yourself more?
The question is, would I absolutely know it?
Yeah. Can you absolutely know that it's true that you'd have more finances if you valued yourself more?
Yes, I can absolutely know that.
Okay. And how do you react when you believe that and you look at the finances as they are?
As they are, I react like I must not be good enough.
Okay. Meaning within yourself or just overall, just
within myself, because I think my work is great, and yet there's a block somewhere.
Gotcha. So, there's a block somewhere. Is that true?
I'm getting no. It's not true.
Okay. Interesting. How do you react when you have the belief there's a block somewhere?
I get to stay and looking at my block rather than going out and doing something to create.
Okay. No, interesting. And how do you feel physically when you have the thought there's a block somewhere?
I feel tightness in my chest.
Okay. And are there any repetitive behaviors or addictions, activities that you tend to engage in when you have this thought, there's a block somewhere?
Eat. Overeat, like.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I overeat.
Overeat. Okay.
Overeat, yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'm sure a lot of us can relate to that. Is there something you're afraid would happen if you didn't believe that thought? These are all sub-questions to the basic question. How do you react? What happens when you believe that thought? Is there something you fear would happen if you didn't believe that thought?
I'm getting that people would expect a lot of me.
Okay.
Ah.
Interesting.
High expectations.
Right. Okay, we expect a lot. We'll write that down in case we have time to inquire about it. So, does that thought bring you peace or stress?
It makes me shake.
Say it again, makes you shake, you said?
Yeah, like my arms are shaking.
Okay.
So I guess that could be stressful.
Yeah, right, I hear that. So, Maitreya, who would you be without the belief there's a block somewhere?
I spaced out. Sorry.
That's all right.
I must not want to hear it.
Sometimes
who would I be? What?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good way. Sometimes the mind just kind of blank. So that's pretty understandable. So we're working on the thought there's a block somewhere. Who would you be without that thought?
I would be abundant. and not have to have it mean necessarily money. I just would be in the space of abundance.
Very good. Anything else? If you close your eyes and just describe life without the thought, there's a block somewhere.
I'd be relaxed. I'd be trusting.
Mm-hmm.
Carefree. Feels like there's a flow.
Very good. When I said very good, that doesn't mean right answers. I just mean, you know, just good that you're going in for your answers. There's no right or wrong answers to the questions. They're just questions. So let's go ahead and try to turn around the thought, there's a block somewhere. What's a turnaround, a reversal or an opposite of that thought?
I welcome adventure?
Well, that might be a result of, that could well be true, but right now we're going to try to find something that's a little bit more literal to the thought. The thought is there's a block somewhere.
So if there's not a block, there's an opening.
Okay, good. Can you give me some examples of where it could be true that there's an opening, or can you see where there are openings?
My book is selling.
Okay.
It's published and selling. That's an opening. I do have clients coming. It's not completely shut down, so I can focus on what's coming in.
Okay.
My friendships are growing deeper.
Your friendships, gotcha. Okay, good. Good. So there's an opening somewhere, very good, or an opportunity. What's the direct opposite of there's a block? Just there is, there's... How about just there's not a block?
Okay.
Try it.
There's not a block.
See, what
there's
would,
no
what
block.
Would be like? Say it again.
There is no block.
Yeah, there's no block. Just try to find some examples of how life would be or some examples of how that's true. How life would be if this turn around, there's no block or alive in you.
It feels like I would breathe more easily.
Mm-hmm.
Something about my breath would change.
Okay.
For the better.
Gotcha.
It feels like there's an openness of trust.
You said an openness and trust?
Yes.
Okay. Gotcha.
And then it also feels like I'm in that openness. I'm open to the synchronicities. Open to seeing the synchronicities that'll lead me where I need to go.
There you go. And also, one thing for me, and just doing my work around this, there's no block. It's just, you know, just remember that the block, the idea of a block, is just something that the mind conjured up. It's just it exists in mind. Sometimes
right.
In inquiry, you can kind of see that. So for me, it's just there's no block within me either. There's no block somewhere or anywhere necessarily. It's just an easier way to live. At least in the moment when I'm stressed out. So we kind of worked on that one because it was more directed outward. Do you want to go ahead and complete this one? I'd have more finances if I valued myself more.
Sure. I don't want to take up all your time on the radio show, but
it's up to up to Janet. I don't know if we knew of anybody else calling in, but have we asked for people to call in?
There's just if there were people waiting, I think.
Oh, there are some people waiting?
I think Donna, our producer, would say.
I'm sorry,
continue.
I didn't hear you. Did you say
go ahead and continue. Yeah.
You said have Maitre continue? Okay.
Go ahead and continue.
All right. Thank you.
Keep going. Yeah.
Okay, so Maitre, you'd have more finances if you valued yourself more. Anything else about how you react when you think that thought?
In thinking that, I feel like there'd be, it feels grounded. It's something like I feel grounded. Like, and when I feel grounded, there's no worry, there's no concern. The fear is dissipated.
Gotcha. You're talking about who you are without that now?
Yes.
Okay, gotcha. More grounded. So let's turn it around. You'd have more finances if you valued yourself more. What's the turnaround?
I have more finances regardless of valuing myself or not.
But yeah, that could be true. You got the same money in the bank, or you know, or the same amount in a certain check, whether you're valuing yourself in that moment or not, right?
Right.
There's an aspect of that to it. Any other ways in which you can see a turnaround for I'd have more finances if I valued myself more?
Nothing's coming to me.
Well, it could be that it's also about others. You know, for me at least, it would be I might have the belief I'd have more finances if others valued me more. I mean, you know,
mm-hmm.
they might be willing to pay more, or they might be seeking my facilitation out more. So that's just I'm speaking for myself. That's a turnaround I can find for myself.
Yeah, that's.
See it again?
Good. I can see I definitely wasn't thinking of that.
Yeah, it's like they're the ones that would bring the money in terms of the value.
Right.
So
that was a blind spot.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what the turnarounds can often do. They can kind of help reveal blind spots.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's a good thing about being facilitated by another, but at the same time, there's a lot of value in just facilitating oneself if one is guided to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it when people feel open to doing either. Janet, go ahead.
I like your voice. I like the way that you facilitate.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think you're very gentle and very clear, and you can cut away the layers really quickly.
Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate that.
Well, thank you, Jeff.
Did you say there was somebody else that was waiting to be facilitated? Or?
Well, we'll find out if you're complete with Maitreya. Then
I think so. Maitreya, do you want to?
Yeah.
Do you feel complete for now? I'm going to suggest.
I totally feel complete for now. I thank you for your time. I got way more time than I ever expected. So thank you for your generosity.
You're welcome. I'm going
to
suggest.
About you?
May I make a suggestion?
Yes.
At some time, look at the thought. You had the thought, people would expect a lot of me.
Okay.
That's a good one to look at.
Great.
Indeed.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks, Maitreya.
Bye.
Thanks a lot, Maitreya.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that was wonderful. If anyone else wants to call in, we have about 6 minutes left, and 877-876-5227. 888-815-9756 from Canada. So that was great. It was a very good facilitation there.
Thank you. I have one suggestion if you want. If it's I've done this before in groups. I don't think I've done it on the radio, but one of the ways that people can be facilitated is as a like hearing the questions and just kind of being in a silent meditation. Even if, obviously, if you're doing that with yourself, that's what you might be doing. You might just, you know, hear yourself say the question,
uh-huh.
hear the question in your own mind, and then just sit with your answers. And obviously, you have the option of writing them down or not. There's a one belief at a time sheet on the website that somebody can download also, where those other things I mentioned are, and that actually has space for a person to write down their answers, but that's not required. What I was going to do is maybe suggest that unless you, Janet, had something to work on, we could actually work on one thought together, and I could just ask the questions, and people could just allow their answers to arise. It's probably not a great radio idea because of the whole concept of dead time, but...
so you're suggesting asking me questions without me giving answers out loud?
Only if you didn't have anything else you want to work on. If you had something you want to work on and no one else has called in, that's what I would suggest most.
Oh, okay.
But if you
I
didn't,
got it.
We could even work on the thought just for the audience. People will expect a lot of me or too much of me, or people expect things from me. That's a good thought to work on.
It actually really is, because
yeah.
I I come upon that with many people, that they stay where they are unconsciously because they don't want to take on what they think is a responsibility.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So do you want to work on this thought just as an example, and then other people can kind of sit with their own answers as they go, or is that
sure? We have I would say we have about 3 minutes, and then
okay.
I want to close out. So if that works, great.
Okay. 3 minutes. Let's see. Yeah, we can just do a quick one. Yeah, actually, we sometimes do a 3-4 minute quickie, just in what's called inquiry circle. So people will expect, you want to work on too much of you? People expect too much of you, or people expect a lot of me? Which one?
Too much.
Okay. People expect too much of me, is that true? Of you, is that true?
Yes.
And can you absolutely know what's going on in their minds?
No.
Can you absolutely know it's true that people expect too much of you?
Yeah.
Okay. And how do you react when you have the belief people expect too much of you?
I go into overwhelm, and I go into my martyr. I feel like a martyr.
Gotcha. And how does that feel physically?
Tense, tight.
Okay. So does that thought bring you peace or stress? Obvious question, maybe.
Stress.
So who would you be without the belief people expect too much of me? You just did not think that.
I would be... I'd probably be a better friend.
Okay. Good. So just describe life without that thought. And you know the time, so just give me a half-minute warning when it comes to turnaround time.
Sure.
Describe life without the belief.
More pleasant.
Okay.
Just an overall.
And what do you see?
More pleasant.
What do you see without that thought?
I see myself as a yes woman with boundaries.
All right. Okay. So you ready for a turnaround?
Yes.
I'm assuming we need to do that now. So
yes.
People expect too much of me. What's a turnaround to that? An opposite or a reversal?
People don't expect too much of me.
Can you find some genuine examples in your life, especially if there are times when you thought people expected things of you that they turned out they didn't? Examples where that's true.
Yeah.
So you can find them. Okay, good. I encourage the listening audience to do the same thing in their own lives. And are there any other turnarounds you can see, maybe about yourself or in reverse, like I expect too much of?
Myself.
Well, you can find where that's true.
maybe I expect too much from them.
Okay. Can you see where either or both of those could be true?
Yes.
Okay. And I don't know, do we have time to look at both of those, or are you pretty much running out of time now?
No, I think we'll stop and
okay.
Close out.
Yeah. May I give my email in case people want to contact me?
I will. Well,
I'm
going to give you your email in a moment. I do want the audience to know that that this work as an ongoing practice give some life-changing results, such as alleviation of depression. That's really huge. Obviously, it decreases stress. It improves relationships. It reduces anger, increases mental clarity, so we live and work more intelligently and effectively. And we also have more energy and more peace. So, but I like the number one, how it alleviates depression, because this type of work alleviated mine, and I had depression for many years, and I think that's important to point out.
Sure, thank you.
To the listeners, you know.
Yeah.
And Jeff, you're such a wonderful facilitator. I feel your compassion, and I think you're very trustworthy, so I can see why you have over 9,000 hours of facilitation. Yeah, and Maitreya is a testimonial too.
Right.
So that's great. So so what is your email? People can find can email you if they have more questions.
Sure, it's jeffreejay@aol.com. I'll say it again, jeffreejay@aol.com.
I like that word, free, in
yeah,
there.
Right,
very
right
clever.
In the and then they can also go to meetup.com and just make sure they're in the Los Angeles part, and then up in the search, just type in Sierra Madre or work of Byron Katie, and there's a group that I organize events around the L.A. area. It has the calendar.
Wonderful. I encourage our listeners to check out Jeff Jones, and I thank you so much for taking the time today.
You're very welcome.
Jeff, and I appreciate the work that you're doing. No
thank
pun
you.
Intended.
Thank you very much.
Until next time, folks, 2 weeks from now, Tuesday at 2, thank you for listening. Thank you, Don and Seth, our producers at BBS Radio. Create an awesome day. Ciao.
Thank you.